Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, October 24th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be just 15 days away from the most important election in the history of marijuana reform, and we'll be bringing it to you live here on CannabisRadio.com with our exclusive coverage of Marijuana Election Night 2016. We'll be live in Los Angeles, California at the Drug Policy Alliance Prop 64 watch party at the downtown DoubleTree Inn. We'll be providing 6 hours of live coverage starting at 3 p.m. Pacific or 6 p.m. Eastern. We're going to cover all of the poll closings as they happen, time zone by time zone, in the 5 states that are voting on legalization and the 4 states voting on medical marijuana. We'll also have a look at some of the local votes, decriminalization in Ohio cities. We've got some bans in Colorado, tax measures in California, other bans in Oregon to bring you. We've got local candidates running in Texas and Washington and in Arizona and Montana who are longtime cannabis aficionados and activists. They're running for office and we need to support them. We'll have interviews with celebrities and policy experts and even the opponents of these ballot measures. It's all coming up on November 8th, Tuesday, Marijuana Election Night. Hashtag MJ Election Night online. All right, for our show today, I am very excited. I've been working all morning on a piece that we can bring you exclusively from weednews.co, where I am one of the featured writers. And it's an expose on some emails that I received copies of between Project Sam head Kevin Sabet and one of his other people, Jeffrey Zinnmeister, and how this prohibitionist organization that hates medical marijuana, that says smoked marijuana is not medicine, that wants to continue the status quo of tickets and fines, arrests and jail for marijuana consumers and cultivators, that group, Project Sam, is officially working with Letitia Pepper and other medical marijuana supporters that oppose Proposition 64 to present a series of press conferences coming up this week where they tout their shared opposition to marijuana legalization. I'll give you all the details coming up in the Radical Rant, so stay tuned for that. Also coming up on the show today, it is Monday, so we got to get our regular dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He's going to discuss the new findings from Vice on why the FDA believes that marijuana is not medicine. Hint, it has to do with stoned monkeys. We've also got a new study that has isolated some of the activities of the marijuana, of the cannabinoid receptors in the human body. We'll ask him about that. We've got some archaeological information, a 2,500-year-old burial that shows some cannabis use evidence. We'll ask the question, does cannabis really cause people to become drug dependent? We'll also take a look at whether or not high-potency marijuana makes any difference in that dependency, and how marijuana and alcohol abuse are co-mingled and may lead to a greater incidence of schizophrenia. Also coming up on the show, we'll have our drug war data mining, and 15 days out from the election, we're going to give you our latest in our poll update. We've got some new polls out of Arkansas on that medical marijuana measure, plus some stuff coming out of Massachusetts. In Behind the Headlines, we'll take a look at Project Sam's Ben Cort and the others who are trying to fight the inevitable tide of marijuana legalization. But we start things off with the Cannabis Radio News right after this next break. We'll tell you about an RV full of marijuana candy that caught fire, Arkansas's first pro-medical marijuana TV ad, a recall for pesticides on cannabis in Oregon, and some information on North Dakota's medical marijuana Measure 5. It's all coming up right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
K cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
It's time to Hemp Presents.
I am going to titillate your audio orifices with weekly radio rendezvous with some of the premier movers, shakers, and history makers of the cannabis community.
Radio resident Hempo Sapien Vivian McPeak.
I will be putting out a call to action on the issues of the day and putting your interests under the big lights as I provide cannabis commentary and weekly interviews that go straight for the nugular.
Marijuana!
Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I opted for convenience to use my personal email account.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, October 24th, 2016. Oregon state health officials have issued a health alert about marijuana products that may have been tainted with high levels of a pesticide and sold to about 130 people southwest of Portland. The Oregon Health Authority said Friday the alert concerns dried flower marijuana sold by a medical marijuana dispensary called New Leaf in McMinnville. The strain names are Dr. Jack, batch number G6J0051-02, and Marion Berry, batch number G6J0051-01. The products were sold to customers between October 17th and October 19th and came from batches that failed a pesticide test containing high levels of a chemical known as spinosad. Anyone finding the tainted product can return it to the dispensary or dispose of it. Effects of smoking marijuana containing spinosad are not known. According to the National Pesticide Information Center at Oregon State University, spinosad is a natural substance made by a soil bacterium that can be toxic to insects. Those concerned about exposure should contact the Oregon Poison Center at 1-800-222-1222. Arkansas medical marijuana supporters began airing their first TV ad for one of two legalization proposals on the ballot next month, touting the measure as a way to help treat children with seizures. One of the state's top opponents of medical marijuana, however, said the ad shows that there's a way to use compounds from marijuana to help patients without a more widespread medical pot initiative. Informing Arkansas, a group affiliated with the campaign behind one of the ballot proposals, bought more than $154,000 worth of airtime to begin airing the 32nd spot in the Little Rock, Fort Smith, and Fayetteville markets, according to documents filed with the Federal Communications Commission. The ad features a New Mexico mom who uses cannabidiol, or CBD, which is derived from cannabis, to help stop her infant daughter's seizures, saying, quote, "Without medical marijuana, I would have a lifeless baby in a wheelchair," end quote. As the counting of ballots started in Broward County, Florida on Monday, election officials and backers of the statewide amendment had verified no additional ballots were missing the medical marijuana question. Broward Supervisor of Elections Brenda Snipes allowed reporters and United for Care, a political committee backing Amendment 2, to observe the first 40 minutes of workers opening up the ballots at the elections warehouse in Lauderhill. They started with the Oakland Park ballots, since the two verified reports of ballots missing the medical marijuana question came from that city. After watching county officials examine the Oakland Park ballots, United for Care campaign manager Ben Pallara said he had some additional concerns that the vast majority of voters in Broward received a complete ballot containing the medical marijuana question. North Dakota voters will decide next month whether to legalize marijuana for medical use by siding either with opponents, who say science is on their side, or with supporters like a desperate grandmother who illegally purchased the drug to help her cancer-stricken daughter. Four states have ballot measures this year asking to join the list of 25 states that have comprehensive medical marijuana programs and 17 states that permit limited access to the drug. North Dakota's Medical Marijuana Ballot Initiative, Measure 5, would allow qualifying patients to possess up to 3 ounces of medical marijuana for treatment of about a dozen medical conditions, including cancer, AIDS, hepatitis C, ALS, glaucoma, and epilepsy. The State Health Department would issue ID cards for patients and regulate state-licensed dispensaries. The North Dakota House rejected a medical marijuana bill last session after it was asked of Fargo Democrat Pam Anderson to sponsor the legislation. Police say a pot advocacy company's RV containing marijuana-laced candy burst into flames on a bridge that connects New Jersey and Delaware, causing lane closures and tying up traffic for hours. Weed World Candies tells WCAU-TV more than $50,000 in merchandise was destroyed Sunday evening when one of its vehicles heading to Philadelphia from Washington, D.C. caught fire on the Delaware Memorial Bridge. Passing motorists captured the blaze on video. The company uses tour vehicles to sell marijuana-laced lollipops and promote the legalization and decriminalization of marijuana. No injuries reported. The Delaware River and Bay Authority tells NewJersey.com all northbound lanes were closed for about a half hour. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, October 24th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
I served 8 years. I did 3 combat tours in the Marine Corps. A lot was given up to earn that, you know? They determined I had PTSD. I found myself in the closet with a shotgun in my mouth. That's when my wife really took the stand of no more of these medications. We have to find a better way. I turned to marijuana and it saved me. That's why I support Prop 205. Help veterans just like me.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace.
The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we want to take a look at the pot prohibitionists who are just quaking in their boots at the prospect of marijuana election night 2016. The polls in five states, as we'll tell you in our next segment, are looking very positive for all five legalization measures to pass, and it's also looking positive to add medical marijuana in at least one or two more states. And the last Gallup poll to come out showed a 60% support nationwide for marijuana legalization on the eve of this election. But there's a story in the Orange County Register. It's entitled, "A Drug Dealer in a Suit is Still a Drug Dealer. Experts in Nearby States Warn Against California Legalization." It features a look at Ben Cort, who is supposedly an addiction expert from Colorado. He's also a member of Project SAM, Kevin Sabet's anti-legalization organization. And for the record, I debated Ben Cort at Texas Christian University. I believe it was in 2013, or maybe it was soon, maybe it was more recent than that. I think it was more recent than that. And heard many of the same arguments that he makes in this particular article. He says that Colorado is drowning in weed and says that he can't believe that California is about to legalize something that terrorizes him, saying, quote, "We're the canary in the coal mine. We're treating more addicts for cannabis than we are for opiates," end quote. Well, Ben, that's a good thing, isn't it? Don't we want fewer heroin addicts? At least someone who might be so-called addicted to marijuana isn't going to die from it, isn't going to have a fatal overdose. And as far as whether we're treating more addicts for cannabis, the other thing that needs to be remembered here is that marijuana treatment centers, these rehabs that get people in for marijuana, they get them mostly from the criminal justice system that are forcing them to go there through some sort of a plea deal, or they get them from the workplace or the schools that offer an ultimatum, either go to this rehab or you get kicked out of school or lose your job. Now, marijuana has been legalized in Colorado, so we don't have as many of the criminal justice referrals as we used to have. But you can bet that the addiction medicine practitioners in California are lining up against Prop 64 because they know how that will impact their bottom line. Court also says that the THC levels in gummy bears in Oregon are 20 times higher in Colorado than where they are in Oregon. And this has to do with the potency limits that they wish to install in these various laws. Prop 64, according to Court, also says it will legalize dangerously high THC, and that according to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, extracts, quote, "can deliver extremely large amounts of THC to users," end quote. Now, the Ben Cort, in his writing here, talks about the dangers that we're going to have here, and worries that we're going to have this big marijuana problem, that we're going to have these big businesses that are trying to prey on the kids, trying to prey on the marijuana consumers, by forcing them to use these high potency products to get them addicted so that they'll continue to consume those products. And this, of course, ignores what you and I and everybody else with any experience with marijuana understands already. And that is, you don't gotta sell marijuana. Marijuana sells itself. The people who want to use marijuana and cannabis products already are. And all we do through legalization is provide them a safe legal outlet for acquiring this product. So much of the scaremongering that we get from Ben Cort and Kevin Sabet and all of these Project SAM type people is founded on this idea, this myth, that somehow legalizing marijuana invents marijuana. As if it's not here already, as if it's not a huge multi-billion dollar industry already, as if people aren't smoking and driving already, as if kids don't get into the marijuana candies already. These things already happen. especially when we're talking about a state like California with its extremely lax permission slip quasi-legal medical marijuana system. To think that Prop 64 is going to cause any more impact to the state of California than Prop 215 has seen in the past 20 years is simply ludicrous. Ben Court, Kevin Sabet, all the best of these Project Sam guys are the chicken littles of today, the boys who cry wolf.
Sorry, I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
And nobody cares about him anymore. You're losing, guys. Past 3 years, we haven't seen a national survey that's shown more opposition to marijuana legalization than support. You are the dodo birds. You are the buggy whip manufacturers. You are the dinosaurs sinking into the tar pits of historical irrelevance. All right, we're right back with those polls right after this.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strains stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com. Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 80 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. Today in the Data Mines, we are taking our weekly look at the polls as we approach marijuana election night 2016. We've got five states voting on legalization. We'll get to those polls in just a second, but we're going to start today with the medical marijuana states, the four states voting on five different initiatives, two of them in Arkansas. These five states and the latest polls that we've got on them. And the first one is some good news that we continue to get out of the Sunshine State, state of Florida, where the latest Anzalone List Grove Research poll came out. The poll asked people from October 17th through October 20th. So just last week asked about that. And the poll found out that we've got, again, major support for the medical marijuana initiative in the state of Florida. This poll gives us a 74-26 support. That is 3 out of 4 people almost in the state of Florida are supporting Amendment 2, which is great news because Amendment 2, as you know, has to get 60% in order to pass, in order to be a part of the Florida Constitution. Got to get 60% to pass. So good news there. And it continues to rise. We had a poll from Breitbart in October 11th that was a 54-35. WESH public policy polling in October 14th was a 69-24. So this poll is 5 points better than a poll that was taken just 3 days prior. But the bad news we have for you comes out of the state of Arkansas, where there are two initiatives that are fighting for the vote. The issue 6 is the medical marijuana amendment, the constitutional amendment, and it's the one that's the stricter of the two, has stricter qualifying conditions and no home grow. That issue 6 is currently failing, according to the Talk Business and Politics poll from October 21st, showing it with 45% support, 50% opposition. Now, this is down from a previous Talk Business poll that was 49-43. So the support has dropped 4 points while opposition has increased by 7. The other medical marijuana initiative, the Medical Cannabis Act, which is a statutory act, it's issue 7. It's the more liberal of the two, has more qualifying conditions, and would allow some patients who live farther than 20 miles from a dispensary to be able to grow their own cannabis. This one is also failing. Latest Talk Business and Politics poll, October 21st, 40% support with 53% opposition. Now, good news out of this poll is some of the undecided voters have come around to issue 7. The last Talk Business poll in September was a 36-53 opposition. So opposition hasn't changed to issue 7, but it has gained 4 more points from the undecideds. But with the opposition to both of them being above or at 50%, it's not looking promising to pass medical marijuana in the natural state. The other two states, of course, North Dakota has medical marijuana measure 5. We still don't have any polling on that, any more recent than 2014. And in Montana, the Lee Newspapers poll from October 10th through the 12th is the first poll we've gotten on Montana. That's Initiative 182, where they're trying to restore the medical marijuana program to its previous glory, to have dispensaries and caregivers who can care for more than 3 patients, and to have doctors who are not audited if they write more than 25 recommendations. That Initiative 182 is also on the verge of failure. It's getting 44% support to 51% opposition. So to summarize, of the 5 votes taking place on medical marijuana in the 2016 election, it appears only Florida is likely to pass, and possibly the more strict one in Arkansas, but it's going to be a tough fight. Now, let's take a look at the marijuana legalization polls in the various states. Out of California, the latest poll that we've received, the IGS field poll from October 18th, shows a 60 to 31% support for Proposition 64, looking like we are going to pass in California. And it joins other polls in the past 2 months that have been 60-31, 58-34, 60-36, 58-34, looking very positive for Prop 64. In the state of Arizona, we are seeing a little bit of movement on the Arizona Prop 205, where the October 20th Arizona Republic Cronkite poll shows a 50 to 42 support, very close there, but 50 to 42 support in Arizona. The opposition is down from a Arizona Higher Ground poll from 2 days prior that was 50 to 45, and Cronkite's poll from September was 50 to 40. So the movement there, it could be less opposition or more opposition, depending on which poll you judge it against, but still looking positive in Arizona. In Nevada, we got a troubling poll that came out of Ben Dixon and Amandi from September 27th through 29th, a 47-46 plurality in support of Nevada's question 2. However, 2 other polls from the same basic time frame from Suffolk and KTNV showed 57-33 and 53-39 support in Nevada. Out of Massachusetts, the latest poll we've gotten from WBUR television shows a 55 to 40 support. That's an October 19th poll. And that matches other polls from September that were 55-39 and 53-40. Very positive look in Massachusetts. And then in the state of Maine, the Portland Press Herald's poll from September 15th through the 20th shows a 53 to 38 support in Maine. So
All five of the states are showing majority support. California 60%, Arizona 50%, Nevada 57%, Massachusetts 55%, and Maine 53%. We'll, of course, bring you all of the results live on Marijuana Election Night 2016, coming to you from Los Angeles, California on CannabisRadio.com. We'll be on from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in the Cannabis Q&A, telling you the latest on marijuana science.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Prop 64 makes marijuana legal in California for adults 21 and over. And here's what else it does. Bans marijuana use in public. Permits sales only at licensed marijuana businesses, not at grocery or convenience stores. And Prop 64 generates $1 billion in new tax revenue for California to fund after-school programs and job training and placement initiatives. Learn more at yeson64.org. Vote yes on 64.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for our Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch. And a quick note that we have a new phone number now, which is 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. And we got Dr. Mitch on the line. Welcome, Dr. Mitch. How you doing?
Crazy day. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And we're 15 days away from the election. How are you feeling about our prospects?
Very positive, but man, I can't wait till this is over.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's getting a little crazy out there. I'll be reporting in the next segment about how some medical marijuana proponents are joining up with Kevin Sabet and Project Sam to oppose Proposition 64. So things are getting pretty crazy out here in the West.
I'm looking forward to throwing a giant bag of legal pot at them.
Very good. All right, let's get to our questions. And also, I'm monitoring the chat room. If you got any questions in chat, we can get to those. But there's a whole bunch of studies that are out recently that we need to talk about. And the first one is actually the research by Keegan Hamilton out at Vice News, where he's picked up 121 pages of documents from the FDA that explain why they thought cannabis needs to remain in Schedule 1. And I understand, Dr. Mitch, it has to do with stoned monkeys.
Well, believe it or not, there were some data gathered on some poor stoned monkeys who had quite a bit of smoke blown in their faces through a mask that may have deprived them of oxygen in a way that made people think that, in fact, cannabis would create certain brain changes that, in fact, I'm afraid, basically resulted from these poor monkeys not getting enough air in between hits.
What were some of the other reasons the FDA gave us as to why cannabis has to stay in Schedule 1?
Well, so some of those same studies showed how poorly we measure motivation, basically. And so you do see some monkeys who aren't necessarily willing to work for a piece of lettuce after they've gotten stoned. But in all honesty, who's willing to work for a piece of lettuce? And then the standard hyping on the idea of dependence and no medical use. So the medical utility data weren't that great at the time some of those first reviews were done, but we know a whole lot better now. And then, unfortunately, the whole misunderstanding of what dependence really is and the notion of cannabis-induced problems being poorly measured and often confused for just plain old adolescence made folks think that that was reason enough to keep Schedule 1 going.
Are these kind of criteria and evaluating standards used by the FDA for other drugs, or is it only marijuana that we get monkeys stoned on?
Well, so what's sad is intranasal cocaine, which does have one medical use in ocular surgery, suddenly it gets Schedule 2. It gets the pass, and it's simply because of that one medicinal use, when in fact we do have alternative medications that do that same job, including lidocaine and some other local anesthetics. So that certainly makes no sense. And then basically drugs with no dependence potential at all, even lower than cannabis, like LSD, end up in Schedule 1. And I think it's just we don't want people thinking thoughts that aren't linear.
Very well put. As far as our endocannabinoid system, there's been a great development that I was reading about of these researchers that were able to kind of freeze a marijuana receptor, a cannabinoid receptor, to discover more about how it works. What did you pick up from this, Dr. Mitch?
I mean, the bottom line is it looks like the cannabinoid system is not as simple as we once thought. It doesn't fire up against the dopaminergic system or some of the other ones that are stereotypically associated with dependence-inducing drugs. And this notion of sort of freezing and then unfreezing creates kind of a reversible lesion, if you will, the kind of thing where you can see what the impact is and then see if it comes back. And we're finding that, you know, the cannabinoid system is important for the things that we thought, like pain modulation, inflammation in response to pain, and basically all the things that we knew were there. And this is just another way of sort of proving that with a much more straightforward approach than either blocking it chemically or actually breeding mice that don't have the CB1 receptor itself.
Very interesting stuff. And folks, if you want to look at that article, send me an email. I'll send you the link to it. I'm radicalrus@gmail.com. Now let's turn to archaeology. You and I have talked a bit in the past about the history of cannabis, how it goes all the way back to the Chinese emperors in 2700 BC and so forth. There's a new article out on a 2,500-year-old burial that hints at some ancient cannabis use. And does this expose for us, you know, the more of the recreational or health uses of cannabis versus some of the other archaeological finds?
This is kind of strange. So it's essentially using the plants to wrap the body on some of these buried participants. And I think it either was, you know, some kind of end of life sort of care, much like we have giving people access to medications at the end of life to sort of ease their pain, or perhaps some spiritual association between the plant, perhaps its subjective effects, and then trying to, you know, sort of create a nice afterlife for these people. So I find it intriguing as hell because it really is plant material, not just hemp or fiber or, you know, some cloth that was made from the plant. And so I'm eager to see what the other archaeologists chime in and decide.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. And we found other, Icemen, for example, buried that have, like, say, hemp cloth or hemp, materials. But this, the medical use and the recreational use is something that we're trying to discern from some of these finds. It's very interesting stuff. The next topic we've got is we got a couple of these where now that marijuana legalization is happening and it seems, inevitable, some of our opponents are turning now to ways that they can restrict it. They know they can't stop it, but how can they slow it down? One of these things is about potency. They want to set up potency limits. And that brings us to the question about whether or not cannabis actually causes some sort of drug dependence, some sort of addiction, and Does high potency marijuana make any difference in the progression of this dependence? Let's get your thoughts on that, Dr. Mitch.
I mean, we've had Zachney's data since the early 90s suggesting that when folks are smoking high potency cannabis, they take smaller hits, hold them less long, and end up with, you know, peak THC levels that aren't a whole lot different from folks smoking relatively low potency cannabis. The dependence issue has always been tried at this epidemiological level, and a lot of alarmist stuff has come out, but in truth, it doesn't seem to be the issue because we monitor dose. How high is high tends to be pretty much the same across Craig Ryan's data for decades and decades. I do feel like the attempt to control potency is a false sense of security. So if we don't have hash oil or shatter or things like that, aren't people just going to smoke more of something else and sort of end up in the same subjective state anyway?
Yeah, it's definitely stuff that's of concern to us. And it seems to me that there's some, I think our opponents try to conflate the fear that we have of truly difficult physiologically addictive substances like heroin or OxyContin or cocaine with the mild dependence that we might get from cannabis, which is really more akin to like caffeine or tobacco. Is that fair to say?
In fact, tobacco is markedly worse, and Bob Orr and I had a chapter in Politics that I wanted to call marijuana almost as addictive as caffeine. When you get professional input on this, they tend to rate caffeine just a little higher than THC. So, and also, CBD content really contributes to the subjective experience. So somebody could have a 17% strain with no CBD in it and end up feeling much more spacey and sort of intoxicating than one with 24% THC, but lots of CBD in it. So I'm afraid this is a real red herring.
So these opponents that are trying to push the idea that the higher the potency of the cannabis, the more problems people will develop with it, there's just nothing to that. I mean, it sounds to me like saying someone's more likely to be an alcoholic on gin than beer.
I like that parallel a lot, when in fact I think you and I can both make some beer drinking alcoholic without spreading too far outside our own families.
Yeah, right to dad, I'll tell you. Exactly. We have a question from our chat room. John Thomas out there has picked up on a study, and this is one I was going to ask you about as well. It's been printed in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry about the correlation of dependence with drug interaction. Like, if you're a drinker, are you more likely to become dependent on pot? If you're a coke user, are we being more dependent on cigarettes and so forth? What is the take home from this study? Is it something we should concern ourselves about?
I think it's worth taking note of, and my student Sarah Smucker and I did some work comparable to this earlier on. The thing is that alcohol tends to slow the metabolism of some other drugs or change it into novel substances. So cocaine by itself is particularly dependence producing, but in combination with alcohol, it creates cocaethylene, which seems to be even more dependence producing. Alcohol doesn't make THC more dependence producing, but it does slow THC metabolism. Not that I'm trying to save anybody money on a cannabis bill, but simultaneous use of these does have the potential to at least make THC's impact last longer. And so that's something to keep in mind if you are basically a simultaneous polydrug user.
All right, good information, and we'll follow up on that and perhaps write an article on that. Another question from our chat room. A listener in Hawaii wants to know about gabapentin. Basically, what is it, and is it highly addictive?
So gabapentin is fucking poison, man. I just am totally frightened of it. It's supposed to have certain analgesic effects and perhaps help folks with peripheral neuropathy. I know a subset of folks who take small doses and claim it's particularly helpful, but the negative side effects are just utterly horrifying in the small subset of folks who have them. The problem is it's impossible to predict who's going to get them and who doesn't. I'm afraid the VAs are handing them out like candy. I just begged my dad to throw a bunch of them away. I have a friend from high school who is really suffering right now after she was put on it in an effort to change some of her medical symptoms. I really think it's just not a good way to go. And if you have medical cannabis to treat neuropathy, it's far and away much safer.
The listener's asking some follow-up questions on what those side effects are, but I'm afraid we're out of time. So I want to encourage folks, if you want to learn more about this, send Dr. Mitch an email. You can reach him at 420research@gmail.com. And of course, you can catch Dr. Mitch's podcast here on CannabisRadio.com, Burning Issues. And who are you speaking to on the latest podcast, Doctor?
Oh, it's two of our friends, Chris and Mickey, and they're going to talk about why Prop 64 is definitely a big thumbs up.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Dr. Mitch Earlywine. We appreciate all your help, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, Russ.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We got time for a radical rant coming up next on how the opponents of marijuana legalization are being joined by medical marijuana profiteers. Shocked I am. Do you hear? Shocked.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
I hope everybody's got their vape pen handy or their pipe or their bong or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But most you don't, important. It's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I was against the war in Iraq, just so you put it out.
The record shows otherwise.
The record does not show that.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 48 after the hour, and today we are going to talk about something I just found out this morning. I received a series of emails that were forwarded to me by one of my listeners. That is an email chain between the Joker to my Batman, Kevin Sabet from Project SAM, the nation's leading anti-marijuana legalization organization, and Letitia Pepper, the Guanaloco attorney from Riverside, who thinks that George Monsanto Soros is trying to destroy medical marijuana with Prop 64. You may remember that Letitia was the person who made the comment that I reported on the other day, which had to do with the Prop 64 debate she was a part of. This was a debate between her and attorney Matt Cumin, where she made a comparison of medical marijuana in the United, or medical marijuana in California, I should say, to the lynchings and the Jim Crow that were experienced by African Americans. Listen to this clip from this debate. This is amazing.
So, on the civil rights issue, everybody in this room right now in California, we are being treated, and I've used this word, and people are like, oh, don't say that, but I'm going to, the N-word. Everybody in California who has used marijuana since the Compassionate Use Act passed, whether you're black, brown, white, yellow, we have all been treated like the niggers were treated, right? When we passed equal rights laws to protect people, and what happened? States, cities, counties passed Jim Crow laws to take those rights away. And how long did it take those people to get the rights back? 100 years in fighting, people being killed, people being lynched, to get back rights they already have.
So that's Kevin Sabet's new ally in California trying to defeat Proposition 64 legalization, Letitia Pepper. And I've been reporting on this ongoing phenomenon of these cannabis growers, marijuana dealers, pot smokers, and medical marijuana patients who always seem to side with the police, prison industry, prosecutors, prohibitionists, piss testers, and pot rehabs in fighting to keep marijuana illegal and, more important, keep the weed prices high. But that enemy of my enemy relationship that they have had always been coincidental and platonic. But now the champions of medical marijuana use are coming out to publicly denounce Prop 64 alongside Kevin Sabet's nonprofit that is dedicated to ensuring they can't use whole plant cannabis as medicine. They want to tell us that Prop 64 is going to destroy Prop 215, and joining the man who wants to destroy Prop 215 to do it. Now, these strange bedfellows are now shacking up together to protect their prohibition profiteering, and they don't care. So in this series of emails, it's Letitia Pepper, and she's looped in to a request last Friday, October 21st, written by Kevin Sabet, the head of Project SAM, the leading anti-legalization organization, to a man named Lonnie Painter. Lonnie Painter is the director of the Laguna Woods Medical Cannabis Dispensary. So yes, a medical marijuana profiteer. Sabet asks in the email, quote, "See what you think of this and please fill in the info, etc." End quote. And this is about a press release that he forwarded, a draft of a press release being written by Jeff Zinsmeister of SAM Action. That's the political action committee for Project SAM. Let me read you the beginning of this draft press release. Now, I don't know if it's gone out yet or not. I've been watching their website, which is samaction.net. And so far, I haven't seen it drop in their news section. I'm just taking an update here on the page. And yeah, it's no update yet. So I don't know if they've followed through with this. But here's what the draft says. SAM Action, the nonprofit 501c4 affiliate of SAM, Smart Approaches to Marijuana, a nonprofit co-founded by a former Obama administration drug policy advisor, Kevin Sabet, and the largest donor to the No on 64 campaign in California, announced today a partnership with Laguna Woods Medical Cannabis Collective and Village Cannabis Club Seniors to oppose Proposition 64. Press conferences will take place throughout California. Quote, "The ballot initiative to legalize marijuana in California, Prop 64, is nothing more than a corporate money grab," end quote, said Kevin Sabet, president of SAM. All right, so that's the beginning of this press release. And notice that part where he talks about Prop 64 as a corporate money grab, because this is a part of a set of talking points for fighting Prop 64. Many of these are being echoed by Stoners Against Legalization. For example, Dragonfly De La Luz's pieces actually copy and paste from Kevin Sabet's writings. And Pepper, for her part, makes her contribution by providing Kevin Sabet with an additional scaremongering talking point about the dangers of marijuana edibles. In the press release, Pepper explained that she would, quote, "show my editing suggestions by doing stuff in caps," you know, like capital letters, all caps, end quote, which is shown in the Zenmeister press release. And here it is. I'll let you know which part is Letitia's. Quote, "While we may not agree with medical marijuana advocates on all marijuana policy, we're united in our opposition to this poorly written initiative, which would legalize pot ads on TV, allow marijuana candy to be sold, and then here's the part that Letitia Pepper adds, to the general public, which has no idea of the delayed intoxicating effect of marijuana edibles." And then Kevin continues, "and allow, as in Washington State after marijuana legalization, commercial marijuana to be grown with hazardous pesticides that, when heated, turn into cyanide." So that's what's in the draft press release right now. And Painter, the clinic owner, the dispensary owner, he approves of the message and offers to provide some logistical support. And this continues in Zenmeister's draft. This is the quote that Lonnie Painter, the medical cannabis profiteer, is offering. Quote, "For those of us who care about medical marijuana patient rights and their health and safety, Prop 64's enactment would be a disaster. The multi-million dollar Pro 64 funders behind 64 represent Silicon Valley and Wall Street interests and others whose only concern is to cash in on marijuana legalization without regard to the needs of the sick, disabled, health-compromised patients, many of whom are poor and on fixed incomes." End quote. So once again, you hear that talking point. Silicon Valley, Wall Street, big money. Now, Pepper reached out to others on Friday night, others in the medical marijuana industry, to try to drum up some support, saying, quote, "I understand that Kevin Sabet is hated, disliked, and despised by many. That said, he contacted Richard Eastman to see if he could get some patients to turn out for a combined press conference of the anti-pot guys like him and his group and the pro-medical marijuana patient activists," end quote. So also in that letter, as a side note, Pepper confirms the collusion between a veterans medical marijuana group and one of the nearly unanimous California law enforcement organizations to maintain marijuana prohibition that empowers the cops to harass veterans who use medical marijuana. She writes, quote, "On a related note, Sean Kiernan from Weed for Warriors was contacted by the California Chiefs of Police to be part of a public discussion with no police publicly on display with church deacons and maybe someone else. I don't know." End quote. By the way, the Sean Kiernan and Weed for Warriors, if that name sounds familiar, he was one of the panelists at the Sacramento debate I was part of with Prop 64. The guy that was calling me names and insulting my mother and denigrating my military service. So, oh, if you saw the memes that I sent around on my Facebook, you know, the one that has the nun sodomizing me, that was one that he approved of and shared and thought was hilarious. So that's the Weed for Warriors guys. Now, on Saturday in this email chain, Pepper's reaching out to more of the medical marijuana industry opponents of legalization, including DeJay Couty of the Patient Advocacy Network, including Humble Grace, a company that is medical marijuana consultants, and a co-author of the original medical marijuana Prop 215, Anna Boyce, registered nurse. She writes, quote, oh, I'm sorry, that's not her writing. This is Pepper's writing, quote, "Kevin Sabet," she misspelled it, "of Smart Approaches to Marijuana and Richard Eastland," she means Eastman, "and I are working to create a one-time coalition of opponents of marijuana legalization and medical marijuana patients and patient providers to issue a No on 64 press release. I'm including Ellen Brown because the message from the coalition is not about marijuana, but all about the money and where it goes and who it comes from. Basically, another way to transfer money from poorer people to richer people. And because of her writings on that subject vis-a-vis 64. End quote. That's Pepper's outreach to Anna Boyce, DeJay Couty, Humboldt Grace, and others. When we come back from our break here at the bottom of the hour, we'll continue on this and give you more of this exclusive look at the conspiracy, the collusion between medical marijuana industry and the forces that want to end medical marijuana. Politics makes strange bedfellows, doesn't it? Well, folks, that's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned. We're coming up back with hour two, Toker Talk Radio, and the phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it.